Today's Shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos. We're going to start on the very last line of Mem Omud Aleph, but we're really going to do Mem Omud Beis today and Mem Aleph Be'ezus Hashem, both Omud Aleph and Omud Beis, and this will catch us up another day for Pesach. So we begin on the very, very last line, Mem Omud Aleph, with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hacholeitz liyevimto, if a person does Chalitza with his Yevama. We have a situation where Reuven passes away, Rachel is the widow of Reuven, she falls in Yibum to Shimon, and he does Chalitza with her. So in this situation, we've already mentioned this in the past, here we see the source in the Mishnah, who also bekrovosa, he is now forbidden to marry all of her relatives, just like she was his wife, so she is now midirabanan, going to be forbidden for him to go and marry any of her relatives, that a man would be forbidden to marry if the woman was his wife. So midirabanan, the rabbis instituted over here via this similar idea of a divorce versus chalitza. So just like by grushaso, a woman who we divorced, or Rachman al-San, if a woman were to pass away, with the one exception we've mentioned many times being the sister, only the sister is the erva that is permitted after the death of the original wife or the divorcee. So then in this situation, the chalutz has all of the same dinim and all of the relatives that would be forbidden for a person to marry from his ex-wife, either his nebuch, the wife who passed away, or the wife that he divorced. So the same halachas apply with the chalutza, who also bekrovosa, he's forbidden to marry any of her relatives. The Mishnah in the Omud Beis will tell us exactly some examples of this. V'hi asura bekrovavim. Likewise, she is forbidden to go and marry his relatives. What do we mean by that? We turn to Mem Omud Beis. And the Mishnah continues, and it tells us, for example, he's not allowed to go and marry, and it doesn't give a complete list. Tosus later on tells us, this is Tana V'shir, there are additional things that are left out over here, but this is a good start. And he tells us in the Mishnah, who he, the man, the one who was the Yavim, who did Chalitza, Shimon, who did Chalitza to Rachel, is now forbidden in marrying the following relatives of Rachel, who also be'ima, he wouldn't be allowed to marry Rachel's mother, Uve'emima, or her mother's mother, Uve'emavia, or her father's mother. So he couldn't marry any of the mother or grandmother-level women in the family. Likewise, Ubevita, who did not leave out to go and marry if Rachel had any children. Again, Reuven died childless, but lav davka, that Rachel never had children from another husband, or if she were in the future to go have children from another husband, he would be forbidden to marry her daughter, and likewise, Bavaz bita, Bavaz bina, and any of her granddaughters as well, whether they're through her son or through her daughter. And this parallels what we learned earlier in the Masechta about the Chamesh Shein Nashim, so in this situation, this is very similar to that. As well as we had the Shniyos that were listed later on, and we'll discuss over here in our Mishnah, is this din of the Chalutza, that he's forbidden to marry her relatives, is this only those that are forbidden midaraisa, or would this also include the ones that were forbidden as Shniyos, as secondary prohibitions, because it may come too close to being like the primary Issa daraisa, so the rabbis instituted what we'll call the Shniyos laraisa. We had this earlier on Daf Yud Gimel. In any event, the Mishnah here just lists some, and it tells us that in all these situations, he is forbidden to marry those relatives going up, the mother and grandmother level, and going down, the daughter and granddaughter level of this woman that he did chalitza to. However, this doesn't apply to his brothers. So when Reuven passes away and Shimon did the chalitza, there's two other brothers, let's say Levi and Yehuda. These brothers, v'achim mutarim, these brothers are not allowed to marry the chalitza, obviously, but they're allowed to marry the relatives of the chalitza, because the chalitza, as we'll see, was done via Shimon. So Shimon now has that, quote, relationship with the chalitza that the other brothers have given up, so to say. It no longer applies to them when Shimon did the chalitza. We don't look at them as ones being zekuka to them. We're now abrogating that via the chalitza that Shimon did. Now, we also said that she, the chalutza, is forbidden with his relatives. So what are examples of that? The he asura bi'aviv, she's not allowed to go and marry his father. Now, by the way, that's also her husband's father. She's the daughter-in-law, and Rashi says, mishum kalaso, this is an iser for both Shimon and for Reuven, by the way, of it being a kalaso. So she wouldn't have been allowed to marry his father in any event. And the Gemara will discuss that a little bit. Ubadi of it, and she would also be forbidden to his father's father, so Shimon's grandfather. So not only is she forbidden to Yaakov, she would be forbidden to Yitzchak. And likewise going down, Ubivno, if Shimon has other children, so she's not allowed to go and marry Shimon's son. And likewise, Uben Bino, and not his grandson, his son's son. Rashi points out that she can't marry his son, Mishum Eishes Av, because if she were to marry this son, then she would be, in fact, not be allowed to do so, because her chalutza status had made her like she was Eishes Av. And Beben Beno, similarly, Mishum Eishes Avi Aviv, because if she were to marry the grandson, so then from that perspective going up, it would be that the grandson is not allowed to go marry his grandfather's wife, Mishum Eishes Avi Aviv. And this is, as Rashi points out, one of the shniyos. So Rashi is already jumping ahead to the conclusion of the Gemara to say that the chalutza is not only forbidden only to the araisa arayus, but are even forbidden for her to marry any of the shniyos, the midrabbanans. The Mishnah continues and says, likewise, she wouldn't be allowed to go and marry Be'ochiv to his brother. So Levi and Yehuda are still in the world. She wouldn't be allowed to marry them. And Rashi points out, Mishum Eishesach, because again, you have the original prohibition of Reuven, as well as now the prohibition that we've given to Shimon by doing the Chalitza, that it's like Eishesach, and therefore Levi and Yehuda wouldn't be allowed to marry her. Or Be'ochiv, and if they had any sons as well, that's because a nephew is not allowed to go and marry, as Rashi says, Mishum Eishesach Yoviv. The nephew can't go and marry the wife of his father's brother, his aunt, through marriage. Okay, so this is what the Mishnah tells us. Again, we've already given Rashi's answer based upon the final conclusion of the Gemara that this applies to both the Daraisa and the Rabbanon prohibitions, but the Gemara is going to question this. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says a statement that will also explain, it sounds a little bit enigmatic, but if you go through it very carefully, it's not hard to understand. Mutter Adam Bikrovas, a man is permitted to marry the relatives of Tzoras Chalutzoso. So in our case, where Reuven had two wives, he had Leah and Rachel. Let's say they're not married to each other. Chalitza is done by Shimon to Rachel. So then the Tzora, of course, is forbidden to Shimon. But Krovas Tzoras Chalutzoso, any relatives of the Tzora of Leah in this situation would be allowed to go marry Shimon. However, the Osir, but Shimon is not allowed to marry Bitzaras, the Tzara of Krovas Chalutzaso. So any of these women that we just said, which are Krovim of the Chalutza, for example, her mother, the Chalutza's mother, so you couldn't marry the Tzara of the Chalutza's mother. And the Gemara will explain why is there a distinction between these two, and that is because the Tzara doesn't show up at the Chalitza, so nobody's going to mistake her relatives as potentially being the relatives of the woman who underwent Chalitza, the Chalutza herself. And therefore, the Krovim of the Tzara are okay. However, the Krovim of the woman who underwent Chalitza often show up there to give her support. And therefore, people will see them leaving. They're not going to know, was the Chalutza the one who was actually undergoing the Chalitza, or was it her relative? And therefore, the Tzara then of those relatives would be a concern. And therefore, the Tzara's Krovas Chalutzaso are paradoxically usher, whereas the Krovas Tzara's Chalutzaso are not. Again, you have to go through the words very carefully. One more time. The ones that are permissible are the relatives of the Tzara. And the ones that are not permissible are the Tzara of the relatives of the Chalutza. If you didn't catch this now, we'll have one more chance to get it at the bottom of this daf when we go through this in the Gemara. So let's start the Gemara right now. And they asked the following shaila in the base medrash. They asked, Gazru shnios b'chalutzo lo. The question that I alluded to, did the rabbis institute not only the primary relatives, the araisa relatives of the chalutza? Again, the whole din of chalutza is all midrabanan. But did they institute just for the araisa equivalent relatives, or did they also institute it for the derabbanan, the shnios? Did they institute this din as well? So the Gemara says, be'erva the araisa gazu b'hu rabbanu shnios. In regards to the real arayis, when you have, for example, a woman who is forbidden to the man on the daraisa level, so not only are all the midaraisa relatives going to be forbidden to him, but the rabbis instituted additional ones, the shnios, because they could easily be confused with the daraisa ones. So do we say that only in a situation where the erva is daraisa? However, b'chalutza, which is not a din daraisa, so lo gazru rabbanu shnios, since the whole din of the chalutza is only midrabanan, so they instituted midrabanan, that what would have been otherwise midaraisa arayos, those should be included, but they never instituted that the derabanan arayas should be included as well. Or do we say, no, Odilma, Loshna, the rabbis didn't make such a distinction. Just like, for example, the woman was a grusha, so then there are Isurim Daraisa, and the rabbis instituted the Rabbanans. So here too by Chalutza, even though there are no Isurim Daraisa in her relatives, because the Chalutza doesn't have that status, but the rabbis instituted it, so they instituted mid the Rabbanan, so they instituted it for the Daraisa equivalent relatives, as well as the Rabbanan equivalent relatives, yes or no? That's the Gemara's question. Let's look at our Mishnah. Toshma, bring a raya from a Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Hu asur be'ima," that Shimon is forbidden to go marry Rachel, the Chalutza's mother, Uveimima, and to her mother's mother. Ve'ilu Eim Eimima Loktani, but it didn't mention her mother's mother, the great-grandmother. Now, that we said is a shneels la'rayis. It could easily be confused with the mother or the grandmother, so we said the great-grandmother is also usher. But it didn't mention that. Oh, it must be that we're only instituting by chalutza the dinam d'araisa and not the dinam d'rabanan, not the shneels. Mar says, no, not necessarily, because Dilma, you know why it didn't mention it? Because Hainu Taima de Lotani, the reason it didn't mention it is because Nishum de Kaboy missed the Sefer, because at the end of the Resha of the Mishnah, it said, however, Levi and Yehuda, the other brothers, Vo'achin, they are Mutarin. Now, if it had said Mutarin, and it had listed the great-grandmother, in that situation, I would have said that maybe it's only the Mutarin to the Midra Bonon ones, like the great-grandmother. V'itana eim ima, the Dindra Bonon, havamina, I would have said, that's the only one that Levi and Yehuda, the other brothers, are Achim Mutarin. However, Dafka be'em eim ima, only for the great-grandmother. Avo be'em ima, for the grandmother, ube'ima, and the mother, which would have been daraisa for a gerusha, so therefore maybe, even though it's derabbanon for the chalutza, no, they didn't institute it. And that's why the Mishnah didn't want to mention any of the shneels l'rayis, because it could lead to a mistake. So then, easily solved. V'lisnei eim eim ima, you could have listed the great-grandmother, and then when you say, for achim mutarim, say, v'listei achim mutarim b'chulan, and then I would know it doesn't mean just the great-grandmother, it would mean the great-grandmother, and the grandmother and the grandmother as well. So when it says, taka, kasha, I don't know why it didn't list it, this could in fact be a raya, that the shneels are not included. However, as we pointed out many times, kasha doesn't mean a proof, and therefore, as we'll see, in fact, the shneels are included, and this wasn't listed for whatever the reason. Okay. Toshma, the Gemara tries again, says, look at the rest of the Mishnah. It says that the chalutza, he, Rachel, is asur b'aviv, is forbidden in his father, in Shimon's father, or be'avi aviv, and his father's father, and the grandfather. So, she would be forbidden to marry Yitzchak, as well as Yaakov, the father, Yaakov, and the grandfather, Yitzchak. Now, k'tani mi'o avi aviv, it mentions specifically the father's father. Now, why should she not be allowed to go and marry him? Isn't it based upon the chalutz, the one who gave her chalitza, Shimon? It's his grandfather. Now, my lab mishum chalitz, isn't it because of Shimon and the havilei kalas beno? Now, this is a situation which is a shneels l'rayis, because this is the equivalent of going the other way. From his point of view to her, she is his son's daughter-in-law, his granddaughter-in-law. Now, that is a shneels l'rayis, not a it's a daraisa. So, let us say that our Mishnah is clearly proving that the shneels l'raisa written there. So it says, no. You know why she's forbidden to marry Shimon's grandfather? Because Mishum Misna, because it's also Reuven's grandfather. The Havilei Kalas Beno. Now that's an Issa daraisa because it's from her husband. And her husband, definitely all the Dinu daraisa and the Rabbanan apply to the husband. So the reason why she can't go and marry her husband's grandfather is because of her first husband, Reuven, and not because of the relationship that she has with Shimon through Chalitza. So that's not going to be a raya. So we're still left. What is the status of Shneos for the Chalitza? Toshma, we try again. It says, Uben Beno. She's also not allowed to marry his son's son. So she can't marry Shimon's grandson. Now, my lav mishum choles, isn't this because of Shimon? And therefore, this is one of the Shneos l'rayas, the Havi law. You can go as the word Bishum or not. Eisha Savi Aviv. So the reason why she's not allowed to go and marry Shimon's grandson is because from that perspective, the grandson would be marrying his grandfather's wife. And that's a Shneos L'Arayis. Oh, let's bring a Raya that Shneos L'Arayis are included by the Chalutza. So Gemara says, no, not necessarily so low. But you know why? Again, Mishum Mista. It's because of her first husband, Reuven. And Reuven's great nephew is also forbidden to her. If she were to go marry Shimon's grandson, that's in fact Reuven's great nephew. And that's why she wouldn't be allowed to marry Shimon's grandson. It's because it's Reuven, her first husband's great nephew. And that's why she can't go and marry him. That's a Shneos L'Arayis, but from her husband. Everybody knows a Shneos L'Arayis applied to the husband. The question still is, do they apply to Yavam, who gave her chalitza, to Shimon, or not? So it may not be a perfect raya, but the Gemara says, wait a second, but in that situation, ha'ameimar, machshir b'yeshes achi avi aviv. We learned in the Gemara, on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, a machlokis there, and ameimar was in fact of the opinion that in this situation, a great nephew is allowed to go and marry the great uncle's wife. So in this situation, the grandson of Shimon would in fact be permitted to go and marry his great uncle's wife. In other words, he could marry Rachel. So Amemar says, in this situation, the issur cannot be from her dead husband. It can't be from Reuven, because in fact, that would have been permissible. So therefore, the only reason why our Mishnah says she's not allowed to go and marry Shimon's grandson is because of Shimon. And that is a shnios larayos. So according to Amemar, our Mishnah clearly says that shnios larayos are forbidden. So Mora says, no, you can't even learn that out. Why? Because you have to say, Amemar read our Mishnah differently. Amemar moki lo bibar bira disaba. When we're saying over here, ben bino, it's not talking about Shimon's grandson, it's talking about Yaakov's grandson. Again, we had started off talking about the chalutza, referred to as vehi, asur b'yaviv, she was forbidden in his father with Yaakov, avi aviv, his father's father, which is Yitzchak, and then ubivno, it's referring to Yaakov's son. Now, it's talking about a different son. It's not talking about Reuven and Shimon. It's talking about Levi, and uben bino, and Levi's son, which is Shimon's nephew, and also Reuven's nephew. So this is forbidden on a deraisa level. If this was a grusha, you're not allowed to marry the brother, because that's Eishes Achi. You're not allowed to marry the brother's son. That's the nephew. He's not allowed to marry what would have previously been his aunt. And those are Yisurim deraisa. So therefore, you can't bring Miraya to Shnios over here. Morris says, but then you already mentioned that. If you're telling me that ben bino is talking about from Yaakov's point of view, so yachi, hainu achiv uben achiv. So those already mentioned, you're not allowed to go and marry the brother or the nephew. So why would you repeat it again? So Morris says, no. You could argue that Amemi would say, tana achiv bino av, uktani achiv bino aim, that these brothers that are mentioned twice, one is talking about a paternal brother, Levi is the paternal brother, but it also would apply if there was a maternal brother named Yehuda. Uktani achiv mino aim. So that's why it lists both of them. And we have no raya that it's talking about the shnios. So more tries again. Toshma. The Tani Rabbi Chia, we have the braisa from Rabbi Chia, arba midivrei Torah, vi arba midivrei Sofrim. Rabbi Chia said that the chalutza is not allowed to marry four of the relatives because they're also min haTorah. And then he beferish says, you're not allowed to marry four relatives because they're also midivrei sofrim, midinum derabbanon. And what are these relatives? Av ubino, achiv uben achiv, midivrei Torah. The chalutza is not allowed to go and marry the father of the one who did chalitza to her, Shimon's father, ubino, or Shimon's son, or achiv, or Shimon's brother, Levi, uben achiv, or Levi's son. These are all midivrei Torah. And as well, avi aviv, you're not allowed to go marry Shimon's grandfather, vavi imo, his grandfather from his father, or his grandfather from his mother. Both of these two grandparents are going to be midivrei sofrim, and likewise, ben bino, uben bito. The chalutza is not allowed to marry a grandson, whether it's Shimon's grandson through his son, or Shimon's grandson through his daughter. And these four are midivrei sofrim. So clearly, Rav Chia holds that the chalutza is also not only in Isurim Daraisa relatives, but also midivrei sofrim. But we still have to prove that that's the case. And now we're going to go through each one of these. Ketani Mia, we said that the chalutza is not allowed to marry Avi Oviv. Now, how do we know that that's necessarily because of Shnios Larayis? It sounds like that. That's what Rav Chia said. But now we have to prove that that's the case. Ketani Mia, Avi Oviv is an Isur of midivrei sofrim. My lav mishum choletz. Aren't we implying that this is because of the one who gave a chalitza? It's Shimon's father's father. And that's why it's because it's Shimon's grandfather. The habilah kalas bino. That would be the equivalent of her going and marrying the grandfather's granddaughter-in-law through his son. Now, that is a shnios larayis. But the word says that's not the reason why it's aser. Because after all, Shimon's father is also Reuven's father. Lo, Mishum Misna, that's her dead husband. The Habilo Kalas Bino. From her point of view, it's also the grandfather from her husband, from Reuven. So therefore, this is the equivalent of it's Reuven's grandfather, and it's his wife. So it's his grandson's wife, his son's daughter-in-law. So it's usher, not because of Shimon, it's also because of Reuven. So you can't prove to me that this is a shnios la'arayas from Shimon. This is a shnios la'arayas from Reuven, but that's not proof about chalutza. That's from death, and we know that that's the case anyway. So try again. Toshma, avi imo. We also said that the father of the mother, Shimon's mother's father, Shimon's grandfather, is also not allowed to go and marry the chalutza. My lab mishum chalitza, that's because of the chalitza. Isn't that because of Shimon? Because it's Shimon's mother's father. The habilo kalas bito, that is the equivalent of her being the daughter's daughter-in-law. From the grandfather's point of view, it's his daughter's daughter-in-law. His daughter was married to Yaakov, and the habilo kalas bito, and now it's his daughter's daughter-in-law. And that's the shnios la'arayas. Oh, let's bring that as the proof to Shimon. And Gemara says, no, again, lo, mishum misna, because this is exactly the same relationship with Reuven, because they had the same mother and father. So therefore, the havilah kalas bito. This is primarily from her Reuven, first husband, and nothing to do with the chalutza. So you can't bring me a raya from either of the two grandparents. Yes, they're both shnios, but they're usher to her because of Reuven, and shnios la'arayas certainly apply to her dead husband. But you can't bring any raya that they apply to the Yavim who gave a chalitza as well. Try again. Toshma. We'll go to the grandsons. Uben Beno. We said that she is not allowed to go and marry Shimon's grandson. Son's son. Again, isn't it because of Shimon? My lab mishum choleitz. Isn't it because of the Yavim Shimon who gave a chalitza? The Habiyolah, according to that, she is Ashes Avi Aviv. If she were to go marry him, then he would be marrying his grandfather's wife, and that's why it's not allowed, but that's a shnius la'arayis, let's bring the raya from there. And the Gemara says again, lo, bishum misna, this is also because of her first husband, Reuven. It's also Reuven's great nephew. And therefore, the havi lo eishes achi avi aviv. So that's why it's forbidden in this situation. The great nephew is not allowed to marry his great uncle's wife, and that's what she is. So we've struck out on three of the four. But the Gemara says here at least, so again, here Ameimer would say that that relationship is permissible. So that can't be a primary relationship that's also through Reuven. It must be that it's only also because of Shimon. Oh, the Gemara says, yes, you're right. Ameimer, mokim lo mishum cholet. So clearly now we have proof that Ameimer would say that the grandson is not allowed to go and marry her. That's only because of the shnios la'arayos, the kasavar gozru shnios machalutza. Oh. So we've proven that Ameimar certainly holds that Shnios L'Arayas apply even to the Chalutza. But we still have to prove it for those that argue with Ameimar. So try again. Toshma. The last one was Uben Bito, the son of the daughter. So Shimon has a daughter and then has a grandson through the daughter, and she wouldn't be allowed to marry him. My lab mishum choletz. Isn't that because of Shimon? Because the Havi law, this is Eishes, she would be the wife of Avi Imo. If she is the chalutza, is considered the mother's father's wife, so then that's why the grandson's not allowed to marry her. But that's shnios la'arayas. So again, the word says lo, mishum misna. We're dealing over here, again, because of Reuven, her husband. And that's why she's not allowed to marry his great nephew through the daughter. The chalutza is forbidden to go and marry Shimon's daughter's son. That's the great nephew through the daughter of Shimon, from Reuven, and that's why it's usher. Gemara says, no, here we got you. V'hol gabi shnios de erva lo gazru. Here, everybody agrees that that actually is permissible. There's a machlokas in terms of the grandson through the son, but there is no machlokas on the grandson through the daughter, that that's in fact permissible. Ah, if that's permissible, so then the only way that this could be usher is through Shimon and not through Reuven. And Olav Mishum Choleitz, the reason why is because of Shimon. The chalitza that Shimon gave her is what prohibits Shimon's daughter's son to marry her. His grandson is not allowed to marry her because it's a shnios la'arayos. Ah, we've proven it finally. Ushmamina gozu shnios machalutza, shmamina. We have proven it. Okay, a little bit complicated. I hope people were able to follow along. Then we quote the last part of the Mishnah where it said, we had that strange statement where we said, Mutar Adam V'chule, and we had said, and let's go through it again one more time, that this chalutza is permitted to go and marry the relatives of the tzara of the Chalutza. So again, Reuven died. Rachel and Leah, the two unrelated wives of Reuven, fell in Yibam to Shimon. Shimon did Chalitza with Rachel. So now the Tzara is Leah. So Shimon is permitted to go and marry Mutar Adam Bikrovas, the relatives of Leah. The Tzara is Chalutzaso, but is forbidden the Aser Bitzara, the Tzara of Krovas Chalutzaso. Any relatives that Shimon is forbidden to go marry because they're the relatives of Rachel, the woman he did Chalitza to, so those Krovas Chalutzas are also forbidden. So likewise, any Tzaras that they have are forbidden as well. And the Gemara now asks, why? Why should that be the case? The Gemara will get to that in a moment, but first the Gemara asks, Amar Rav Tuvi bar Kista, Amar Shmuel, Haba al Tzaras Chalutza, if you were to go and have relations with the Tzara of the Chalutza, if Shimon were to go and marry or have relations with the Tzara of the Chalutza, Leah, so then Havlad Mamzer, Havlad would be a Mamzer. Why is that? My Taima, Bisura Kaima, because the original Eishes Ach Isser kicks in at that point in time, and therefore that's why it would be an Isser of Kares. Rabbi Yosef says, we learn the same thing in our Mishnah. How do we see that? It said, Mutar Adam Mikrovas Tzaras Chalutzaso. This din that we just said, that a person is permitted to go marry the relatives of Tzaras Chalutzaso. Now, Iyamis Bishloma Tzara Abroi, that's great if you say that the Tzara is considered not a participant in the Chalitza. She's outside. Abroi means she's outside. Rachel did the Chalitza, and she didn't do it as a shaliach, so to say, on behalf of Leah. She did Chalitza herself. That happens to pat to Leah, but she wasn't acting as a shaliach on behalf of Leah. So therefore, we understand, Mishum Achi Mutar B'Achosa. That's why he would be allowed to go and marry her Achos, her sister. Mutar B'Krovas Tzaras Chalutza. So he could marry Leah's sister. However, Elo I Amri is Tzara K'Chalutza Damya. If you say that the Tzara, in fact, was like the Chalutza, that Rachel and Leah have the same status, so then I'm my mutter, then why would he be allowed to marry the relatives, the Krovim, of the Tzara? So it must be that the reason why is because the Tzara didn't have the status of having Chalitza done to her. So that's what Shmuel is saying, that she's not considered as having had Chalitza done to her. The Chalitza was done to Rachel, the Tzara of Leah. Leah is the Tzara of Rachel. She didn't have Chalitza done to her, and therefore there is no din of the relatives of the Chalutza. She's not the Chalutza. Rachel's the Chalutza, not Leah. But the Gemara then says, so then this should be a raya to the achlokas we had previously with Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Lema to have it to Yufta, the Rav Yochanan. This should be on Daf Yud, the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We had as follows. The Rav Yochanan's opinion was, and we should be slugging it up with this, this is a Tiyufta to Rav Yochanan, the Omar, Bein Hu U Bein Achim. When you have Chalitza that was performed by Shimon on Rachel, so then Levi and Yehuda, Ein Chayavim Lo Al Chalutza Kares, Velo Al Tzorasa Kares. If Levi or Yehuda would, Rachmon Litzlan, go and have relations with Rachel, which they're not allowed to do, but it wouldn't be an issa of Kares. And likewise, if they had relations with Leah, it wouldn't be an issa of Kares. The reasoning was because Rav Yochanan held that when Rachel did Chalitza with Shimon, so basically that was as if all the brothers had given her Chalitza, and for Leah as well, it's as if she got Chalitza. And therefore, the issue of Eishes Ach doesn't apply. It's only the issue of Lo Yibane. Once you didn't do Yibam, so then you didn't go and build the house. You can never go back and build the house again. But that's a lav. That's not an issue of Kares. But here we're saying that this is clearly an issue of Kares. So how would Rav Yochanan answer that? So Amalek Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said, Tizbara, this whole thing over here is Dirabanan. Achus Chalutza is Daraisa. It's Dirabanan. And that's why the case here is different. You can't bring this as a raya against Rav Yochanan. And in fact, Reish Lakish says over here, and he'll say it again in the next daf, V'amar Reish Lakish, Kan Shana Rebbe. Rebbe learned in the next Mishnah, Achos Gerusha Midivrei Torah, Achos Chalutza Midivrei Sofrim. Rebbe's opinion is that the Gerusha, that's obviously a din in the Torah. And therefore, the prohibition against marrying any of her relatives is an Issa D'Raisa. But Chalutza, as we pointed out already several times, the rabbi said Chalutza and Grusha look very much alike. And therefore, even though Min HaTorah, a Chalutza's relatives are all permitted, that's going to be confusing to people. And therefore, the rabbis instituted that all the relatives of the Chalutza, for example, the Achus Chalutza, are forbidden Midivrei Sofrim. That's a Din D'Rabbanan. Finally, we get to the question I mentioned many times, Maishna Hai, Umaishna Hai. Why is Shimon permitted to marry the relatives of Krovas Tsaras Chalutzaso, but is forbidden to marry Tsaras Krovas Chalutzaso, which I've explained multiple times. And we finally turn to the answer on Mem Aleph Omud Aleph to give the answer that I mentioned before. Hach Diazlo Behadol Beidina, the relatives of the woman who underwent chalitza, Rachel's relatives, they're going to go with her for moral support to the chalitza. So people are going to see her sister over there, and they're going to say, whoa, who got the chalitza? Was it Rachel, or was it Rachel's sister? And therefore, Gazru B'hu Rabbanan, the rabbi said, both Rachel and her sister, any other relatives that were there, they're all usur. And that's why any of their tsaros, any co-wives that they have, are also going to be forbidden to Shimon. However, the Tzara herself, Leah, she's not going there when Rachel is getting Chalitza, and therefore, Leah, who didn't go with Rachel to the Beis Din, the rabbis did not feel there was any need to go and make a Gezerah. And therefore, Shimon is Mutter Adam Bekrovas, the relatives of Tzaras Chalutzaso, with Leah's relatives. Let's go right to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hacholetz Liyavimto, Shimon does Chalitza with his Yavama, he does Chalitza with Rachel, V'nasa Achiv Es Achosa V'meis, and along comes his brother is Levi, and he marries the Achosa, the sister of Rachel. So now Rachel has a sister, we'll call that sister Leah, and Levi married Leah. Now, Levi then dies V'meis. So what do we have? Leah has now fallen because Levi died childless, so she now falls to Shimon. But there's only one problem. Shimon has given Chalitza to her sister Rachel. So this is Achos Chalutzaso. Now, Achos Chalutzaso is only Osim Yidirabanan. On a Daraisa level, Shimon would be allowed to do Yibah with her. Therefore, the Mishnah says, Cholet says, Velo Misyabemes. On a Daraisa level, you could do Yibah, but we don't allow Yibah. But she can't just go scot-free because there is a Chiyav on a Daraisa level. She's a Kuka Liyavim. So therefore, we do Chalitza and we don't do Yibah. Now, the Mishnah says, V'chein, but the Gemara is going to say this doesn't make any sense because it's actually a different din and it should say Aval. But in any event, V'chein, Hamagarish is Isto. Likewise, if a man were to go and divorce his wife, so Shimon goes and divorces his wife Rachel, and then the Nasa Achiv Es Achosa, Levi went and married the divorcee Rachel's sister Leah Vameis. Same exact scenario in the names as before, but now Levi dies again. So what happens now? So Levi's wife, which is Leah, is Achos Gerushasa. When she falls Yibam to Shimon, this is a real Achos Gerushasa, which is an Issa Daraisa, and therefore this situation, Harezu Ptura, she doesn't require Yibam or Chalitza, because this was an Issa Daraisa, she's an Ervatum of Achos Gerushasa, and therefore there is no Chiyav here for Yibam. So I made the two cases parallel with Shimon and Levi. We didn't have any Ruvain over here in the second case, but to make it parallel with the names in the first case. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Shomeris Yavam, if you have a woman who's waiting for Yibam, so Reuven dies, his wife Rachel is waiting for Yibam, and meanwhile, while she's waiting to have Yibam with Shimon, Shekidesh Achiv Es Achoso. Shimon has a brother, Levi, who goes and marries the sister of Rachel, again, Leah. So Levi has been Makadisher, he has marriage, first stage of marriage, he hasn't consummated the marriage, so Levi has a first stage of marriage with the woman who is waiting Yibam by Shimon, her sister. Again, one more time. You have over here, Shimon is waiting to do Yibam with Rachel. Meanwhile, the other brother, Levi, had first stage of marriage, Kiddushin, with Rachel's sister, Leah. So, they brought down, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Amru. The Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira paskind, Omrim Lo. We go and tell this Levi, wait a second, don't consummate your marriage yet, because you wouldn't be allowed to go and consummate the marriage with Achos Zukukaso. You didn't do the right thing by doing the first stage of marriage, but you didn't do any Averi yet. So don't go over the Rabbanan any further than you've already done. Instead, Hamtein, wait, Achiyasa Ochicha Maisa. Wait until Shimon does Maisa, in other words, till he does Yibam, that will knock off the Achos Zukukaso with your wife, your first stage of marriage wife, and then you can go marry Leah to your heart's content. Once Cholatz Lo Achiv Okansa, once Shimon either does chalitza with Rachel or he does yibam with Rachel, so the achoz zikukaso on your wife Leah goes away, and now yichnos is ishta. Now you can have the second stage of marriage with your wife Leah. Now, next part of the Mishnah, meisa yavama. If before Shimon actually did yibam chalitza with Rachel, she never passes away, so now we no longer have a problem. There's no longer achoz zikukaso, so now Levi can finish the nisuin, he can have the second stage of marriage with his wife. Very good, very simple. Yichnoses ishto, he goes and marries his wife. Fine. What happens if Nebuch meis yavam? However, what happens if Shimon dies now? So Shimon didn't get a chance to do yibum or chalitza with Rachel. Now Levi is in a lot of trouble. He has a din daraisa that Reuven's widow, Rachel, has fallen to him on a daraisa level. But he's also married on a daraisa level to her sister. So he's stuck over here. Yotzi es ishto beget. He can't consummate the marriage with his wife because she is achoz zikukaso, and on a derabbanan level, he's not allowed to go and consummate that marriage. And he therefore has to go and divorce his wife. But he can't do yibam with the woman who is waiting, Rachel, to have yibam done with her. The eishes ochav b'chalitza. He has to give a chalitza because this is achoz girushaso now. Or achoz ishto originally. And therefore, he's stuck. He's going to be out. He can't marry his wife, and he can't marry the Yevama. Gemara starts off and says, "My v'chein." Why do we use that expression in the beginning? I pointed it out that it's wrong. V'chein ha-megaris ish ishto. V'chein implies in similarly, but it wasn't similar. In the first case, we required chalitza without Yevam. In the second case, harei zeptur, she didn't require chalitza at all. So what's going on? So Gemara says, "Taki, you're right. Eimo avol ha-megaris," as opposed to the following case, not v'chein. Amar Reish Lakish, and this is what we mentioned a few minutes ago, Kan Shona Rebbe, this is on this, Rebbe had said, Achos Grusha Midivrei Torah, and Achos Chalutza Midivrei Sofrim. The difference between a Grusha and a Chalutza is exactly this din. Are they 100% considered all the dinim applicable by a Grusha on a Daraisa level? Yes, and a Chalutza is only Midirabbanan. Then we quote the Mishnah, it said, Shomeris Shavim Shekidish Vuchule. We had all the cases in the Mishnah where while she was waiting Yibum, so the other brother, Levi, went and married her sister. So Shimon is waiting to do Yibam with Rachel, and meanwhile, Levi does a first-stage marriage with the sister of Rachel, Leah. Amar Shmuel, halacha k'divrei Reuven v'Seirah. We follow the opinion that we mentioned in the Mishnah that she should wait. Levi should not marry Leah until Maisa is done, either Yibam or Chalitza with Shimon and Rachel. They ask the following shaila in the base matter, Yishibay Luhu, Meisa Ishto, Mahu Biyavimto. What happens if Nebuch, this Ishto, dies, this Leah dies? He had the first stage of marriage with her, Levi did, and now she's dead. Meso Ishto, Mahu Vibto. Is he allowed to go and marry the Yevama? Could he do Yibum with the Yevama? Now, this was Achos Ishto, but his wife died, and Achos Ishto is permitted after marriage. So what's the din over here? So we have both Rab and Rabbi Chanina, the Amri Tavayu, they both hold Mesa Ishto, in this situation where Levi's wife, first stage of marriage wife, dies, Leah dies, Mutavi Avimto. This would be a classical case of Nebuch, a person is allowed to marry his wife's sister after that person's wife passed away. Therefore, Levi would be allowed to do Yibum with Rachel because his wife Nebuch passed away, so there's no answer on the sister. Where Shmuel and Ravasi, they disagree. Dabar Tavaya, both Shmuel and Ravasi both say, in this situation, Mesa Ishto, when Leah dies, also Vivimto. Levi would not be allowed to go and do Yibam with Rachel. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, my time of the Rav. What's the reasoning of Rav? I don't know why it doesn't say my time of Rav and Rabbi Chanina, but Rav is so great that Mistama, if you don't ask, throw in Rabbi Chanina when you're talking about Rav. In any event, my time of the Rav, what's the reasoning for Rav to say that after Leah dies, Levi would be allowed to do Yibam with Rachel, his Nebuch dead wife's sister. Because he says, Rava says, Mishum Davoy Yavama Shehutra, when she originally fell, Rachel was permitted to either Shimon or Levi. Then she became forbidden, Venesra, because he now married her sister. But then, when Nebuch, the sister Leah, dies, Chazra Vahutra, he again is permitted to her, and this is perfectly acceptable, Tachzor Leterah Rishon. This is allowed, she is allowed to go back to her original permitted status, and Levi is allowed to do Yibam with Rachel. Now this may sound familiar, we actually had something very similar to this earlier in the Masechta. If you remember back, on Dav Chav Tes, we had the following. Moshe Rav Amnuna now questions Rav's opinion based upon this brisa that we had on Daf Chav Tes. Remember the case, Shlosha Achim, we had the three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, who were the first two, Reuven and Shimon, Shnayim, Nisuon, Lishtei Achoyos. Reuven was married here to Rachel, and Shimon was married here to Leah, they are sisters. And then the Echad moved there. Then we had the bachelor brother. We had the brother that wasn't married. We gave reasons why it specifically said he wasn't married as opposed to married to a Nochris. In any event, Meis Echad Mibalei Achoyos. In this situation, if Nebuch Reuven died, so now Rachel falls Yibam. She obviously can't have Yibam with Shimon because Shimon's already married to her sister. So therefore, she only falls Yibam to Levi. And Levi does the right thing, but also b'mufna maimer. Levi does maimer with her, which is what the rabbi said you should do before you commit the act of Yibam. Now, then, the achakach meis ochiv hasheni. Only then does Shimon himself die. And Shimon also has no children. So now, the sister, the second sister, Leah, also falls in Yibam to Levi. So now, Rachel had already fallen from Reuven, and he did Maima to her. And now, Shimon's wife, the other sister, Leah, now falls in Yibam to Levi. But now it's a problem. You have Achoz Zikukaso. But before anything is done, she also passes away. Nebuch, Leah, passes away. So now, you're back in the same situation as before. The Achakach, now, Meso Ishto Achrov, Shimon, and then his wife die. So now you only have the original Maimer widow, Reuven's widow, Rachel, who's married via Maimer to Levi, but they're not married on the Daraisa level. They're only married Midrabbanan. So what do you do in this situation? Can he marry or not? So also, Yavama, this Rachel, Choletzes, is only allowed to undergo Chalitza with Levi, below Misya Bemes, but doesn't undergo Yibam. How come? Famai, why can't she undergo Yibam? After all, shouldn't this be, according to what Rav just said, shouldn't this be a case of Teve Ki Yavama Shehutra, a Yavama that was permitted? Originally, when she fell, she was permitted. Rachel was the only one that had fallen in Yibam, so she fell to Shimon and Levi. She was permitted to Levi first, and then the Nesra. Only afterwards did she become forbidden when Shimon's wife became also Sukuko Liyavam to Levi, but then the Chazvutra when she died. So therefore, isn't this the case that Rav should have said is permissible? Tasu Letera Rishon. So how come in that Brisa we said that she doesn't get Ibam, she only can have Chalitza? And Rav was silent. Ishtik, he didn't have an answer. After Rav Amnuna left, he said, why didn't I think and say, Levasa Dinofak, after Rav Amnuna left, Omar Rav said, I should have answered, Amai lo Amri Slay, why didn't they give him the following answer, that Rabbi Elazar, this only goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now what is this? So Rashi points out over here, that in Perek Beis Shammai, later in the Masechta, on Dav Kuf Ches and Kuf Tes, so Rabbi Elazar's opinion there is, a man, Gabi Megarish Isha, he divorced his wife. Reuven divorces Rachel. And then he realized he made a mistake. Vilzira, no problem. He's not a Kohen. He's allowed to go and remarry her. So fine, Reuven is married to Rachel. And then Reuven dies, and they don't have children. So now, Rachel falls to Shimon. So you would say, absolutely okay, which is what the Chachamim say. No problem. But Rabbi Elazar comes along over there and says that in this situation, she's forbidden to undergo Yibum. Why? Because originally, after the first divorce, so then she was Eishes Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, and that Isser went into Shimon. And albeit she then remarried Reuven, so now when she falls, she was a regular Eishes Ach B'Makom Mitzvah, but once there was an Isser, that's it. So Rav should have answered over here that this is a going according to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, the Omar, Kivin Sho'am, the Allah of Sho'ach has been, so since for one moment she was Aser, Nasr Allah of Alamas, so she's forever forbidden. So therefore, Rav should have answered Rav Abnuna and said that this case over here is only going according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Once forbidden, forever forbidden. And therefore, my opinion is like the Chachamim and not a problem. But then Rav retracted this answer. He said, I know why I didn't say it, because it was wrong. So therefore, Hadr Omar, no. When did Rabbi Elazar say this? Emud Omar Rabbi Elazar, Hecha de lo chazya b'shas nefila. That's when the Yavama was not eligible for Yibam at the very first moment that she fell to Yibam. She was already usher because of this idea of Eishesach from beforehand. Aval Hecha de chazya b'shas nefila. But would Rabbi Elazar say in our situation when Rachel was falling first to Shimon and Levi, so there was no Issur yet to Levi. Only subsequently, later on, after both Shimon and then Shimon's wife both passed away, is there going to be the Achozik Ukoso situation that goes into effect, but then goes away. So that's Asra, and then Chazur V'Hutra. So who says that Rabbi Elazar says in this situation that this din applies? So maybe it's not able to be answered by saying, this is a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. That's why he couldn't tell it to Rav Abnuna. But then he changed his mind again. Hadar Amar, he said, no, I was right in the first place, in the original thought that I had, that I could say that this is Rabbi Elazar, is applicable. Because, V'atanya, it says B'Ferish in the following, Braisa, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Meso Yevimto, in this situation where Shimon dies and then his wife dies, so then we say Mutter Beishto, he is in fact allowed to go and marry his wife, meaning that Levi could go take the Mimer wife, Reuven's widow, Rachel, in marriage, because the Isser of Achozik Ukoso goes away. So obviously Rabbi Elazar over here said you're allowed to do this. This is Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mutter Beishto. It's only in Meso Ishto, if in fact Rachel had died, then that was a moment that Leah fell in Yibam. She was already prohibited because of Achoz the Kukaso. Only then, as Rabbi Elazar say, also Yavama. In that situation, Leah choletz is v'lo misya b'mes. So therefore, this reasoning of Rabbi Elazar is only the machlokas of Elazar and Chachamim in the case of the Megarishis Ishto, but it's not applicable over here, and therefore Rav says, I should have answered Rav Amnuna in this way. Finally, the Gemara wants to suggest, Le Moshmul v'Ravasi, the Amakir v'Elazar. So then, it comes out that Shmuel and Ravasi, they seem to be hold in only like Rabbi Elazar, but they don't want to be locked into that shita. They would answer, no, afilu tamik rabbanu. We could argue that our opinion holds even according to the rabbanu that argue the Rabbi Elazar, because ad kan lo komifli rabbanu alei the Rabbi Elazar el mishum de minifli lo ve'elach lo mitzar alayu. Because in that situation, at the time of the Yibam, there in fact wasn't the problem. So therefore, that's why the Chachamim argue in Rabbi Elazar. Abul Hacha, the Itzar, but here, where there is an Isser that occurs, once there was the Nefila, once she fell in Yibam, so therefore, Afilu Rabbanu Modu, in that situation, one could suggest that even the rabbis agree with Rabbi Elazar, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Elazar, that in fact, it would be forbidden, just like Shmuel and Ravasi said. Again, a tough sugya. Let's go on to the next Mishnah. What's great about Yavamas is you just keep on plowing ahead. The next Mishnah says, "Hayavama lo sachlos velotis yabeim ad sheyesh lo shlosha chadoshim." That a yavama doesn't undergo chalitza or yibam until she's waited the 3-month havchana period of time. So we guarantee that if she were pregnant, we'll know who the baby belongs to. The first husband never who passed away. So you wait 3 months. If she's not visibly pregnant by that point in time, she's a mistama, not pregnant, and then she can have yibam or chalitza and continue with her life. Fine. And this is true not only for Yavama, this would be applicable for any woman Nebuch whose husband either passes away or she gets divorced. She's not allowed lo yisarisu v'lo yinosu. She's not allowed to have first stage of marriage, erisin, kiddushin, v'lo yinosu. She's not allowed to have the second stage of marriage, nisuin. And this is true, achyu lehen shlosha chadoshim, until 3 months have passed from the end of her last marriage. And this is true, echa besulos v'echa bulos, whether she was a virgin or she wasn't the virgin. The Gemara will explain that this is actually the same exact meaning as we're going to have when we say whether she was an Nesua or an Arusa. So a Bula is equivalent to being an Nesua, she had relations. A Basula is the equivalent of being an Arusa, which she hadn't had relations. So it's just repeating it over here. The Gemara will discuss this a little bit more. But in any event, this 3-month Havchana period of time, according to the Tanakhama, applies across the board in all situations. Whether she was a basula or a ba'ula, whether it was from gerushin echad, gerushos echad almanos, whether the marriage had ended because of a divorce or because of a death, and this is true, again, echad nesuos echad arusos, again, this is repetitive, it's the same thing, whether we're dealing here with a marriage that ended from the first stage of marriage or from the second stage of marriage. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Hanisuos, if a woman was unfortunately divorced or widowed from a marriage that was a consummated marriage, it was nisuin, so then she is allowed to have erisin. She could get married to somebody else even within a 3-month period of time and have erisin, because that won't lead to any havchana shailos, because erisin means you're not allowed to go and have relations, so therefore there's no concern. Likewise, if the first marriage that ended Nebuch in a death or a divorce, Varusos, Yinatsu, they can get married even the second stage of marriage right away because there was no concern of Havchana because the first marriage had never been consummated. One exception, Rav Yehuda says, Chutz ben Arusa shel Yehuda. If the woman was an Arusa who lived in Yehuda, so in that situation, we don't allow her to get married for 3 months because Mipnei shel Libo Gaspa. In Yehuda, they would let them hang out a lot together before the wedding. They had the first stage of the marriage, but before they had the second stage of the marriage, they would hang out a lot together, and one thing could lead to another, and they could have had relations. And therefore, Mipnei Shalibo Gaspa, they were very comfortable with each other, so much comfortable that they never committed an Isser, because they're not allowed to have relations with each other, even though they had the first stage of marriage, they're not allowed to have relations until they have Nisuin, until they have Chuppah. So therefore, in Yehuda, where this was unfortunately a common potential problem, so therefore, if there was only Erisin from Yehuda, so then they wouldn't allow to get married right away. They'd have to wait the 3 month period of time. And likewise, if a woman was divorced or widowed and she's getting married to somebody in Yehuda, so she wouldn't be allowed to go and get married to him, even on the first stage of marriage, because of the potential for Libo Gaspa, they would hang out together and the Havchana would be a problem in the first 3 months. Finally, the Mishnah concludes with Rav Yossi's opinion. Rav Yossi Omer, Kol Anoshi Nisarasu. He says, no, there's never a problem having Erisin. The only exception is Chutz Min Amona. If Nebuch, there was a case of a widow, a woman's husband passed away, so then, in this situation, we don't allow her to even have Erisin with somebody else, and we turn to the Omer Beis, and the reason for this, the Mishnah concludes, is Bimneya Evo, because of Avelus. That's why she can't go out and get married. But it's only 30-day period of time. Once the Avelus is over, you don't have to wait even the 3 month period of time. Where it starts off and says, Bishlom Lotus Yabim, we understand why we don't allow Yibim to occur, because maybe, in fact, she's pregnant from the first husband, Shemiyeh Vlad Ben Kayama, and this child will be a viable child, and it will turn out, and she's doing something that's forbidden, Mid Araisa, an Isser of Kareis. But why not let him do Chalitza, Elo Sachlot? Amai, why not? Why can't we do Chalitza? Aye, let us say, Lema Tevi Tiyot to the Rav Yochanan, another potential to Yufta to Rav Yochanan, the Omer Chalitza Smuberish Shmo Chalitza. Maybe the reason why is because the Chalitza on a pregnant woman doesn't work. Rav Yochanan said it does work, so let this be a proof against Rav Yochanan. So where it says, V'lav b'yus v'nu l'Rav Yochanan chod d'zimna. But we already proved that wrong of Rav Yochanan. So where it says to do it again, Lema Meha Nami Tevi Tiyufta. So this is also a proof seemingly against Rav Yochanan, in that we don't allow Chalitza because maybe she's pregnant. So Gemara says, no, that's not another proof against Rav Yochanan. You know why? Because Hacha Hainu Taima. The reasoning over here is as follows: Shema Yev Lad Ben Kayama. Because you know what's going to happen. In fact, she is pregnant, and it's a viable pregnancy. And you know what's going to be? The name says Ato Metzricha Kruz LeKahuna. You're going to have to, in fact, say that this chalitza that she underwent was a worthless chalitza, and it wasn't a real chalitza, and she's still muteris to marry a kohen. She's a widow, and she's allowed to marry a kohen. And you'll have to make an announcement, and that's problematic. The Gemara says, "Nitzucha, so make the announcement. What's the big deal?" The Gemara says, like we said previously, "Dilma ika dahabi b'chalitza v'lo habi b'acharaza," because there are going to be some people that were present at the chalitza, but they won't be present at the announcement, and they're not going to let her get married to a kohen. Umifsaluam and akuhuna. And not going to hear that this chalitza was an unnecessary chalitza, and they're going to say, "No, the din is a chalitza is not allowed to marry a kohen." Or they're going to let her get married to a Kohen, and then people will think that a Chalutz is allowed to get married to a Kohen, and they'll think that a Gerusha is allowed to get married to a Kohen, and therefore, we don't allow this. Shmuel says, that's great, Tenach b'almona. That would be true if this was only an almona. But what happens if this almona had been married previously? So Gerusha, Ma'ik l'meimar. So this woman, who now is an almona, had previously been a divorcee. Now she's married to Yisrael. There was no problem in him marrying a divorcee, but now she's already a divorcee. So Gerusha, Michael Memer, what's there to be concerned about? She's a previous Gerusha, so there's no additional prohibition by being a Chalutza. So where it says, no, Mishum demafsul mizonos, because she would lose her mizonos. Once you undergo Chalitza, you lose the financial support, the mizonos, the sustenance that the estate of her dead husband would still be providing her. Normally, until she gets married again, she's entitled to be supported by the estate. However, here, when there is a Yibam going to take effect, so we normally don't allow that except for 3 months, because it was his responsibility to support her until Nebuch, she falls to Yibam to somebody else. But here, since we don't allow the Yibam to take place for 3 months, so we still require him to support her, the estate to support her for 3 months. But therefore, if she were to undergo Chalitza, so then she would lose the support. And obviously, the one who gave her Chalitza is not getting the support, so this poor woman would be without support. And therefore, Mishum Demafsid Lebezonos, that's why we don't allow the Chalitza. So again, the Gemara says, Tenach Nesua. That would be great if the first marriage that she had was as a Nesua, full marriage, and therefore she would be entitled to that support. But an Arusa, who's also a Gerusha, so we have both of the reasons being no longer applicable, and Arusa isn't entitled to support, the Gerusha wouldn't be allowed to marry a Kohen. So Michael and Mamer, in that situation, what are you going to suggest? So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Mishum de Rav Yossi. This is because of what Rav Yossi said. What did Rav Yossi say? Rav Yossi said as follows, the Tanya. A man came in front of Rav Yossi and asked him, can I do chalitza during the 3 month period of time, or do you have to wait for Rav Chana? So Rav Yossi told him, lo tachlots, don't do chalitza. V'sachlots umabakach. So the man said, why not? Why can't I do chalitza? And what's the big deal? So Karol of Mikrozeh. So Rav Yossi said about him this pasuk. The pasuk says, im lo yachpots. The pasuk says, if you don't want to do yibum with her, you don't have to. You can go do chalitza. But the implication is, if you do want to do Yibam, you're allowed to. So Rav Yossi says this pasuk connects the two. Kol ola leYibam. If you could do Yibam, then ola leChalitza v'chulei. Then you can do Chalitza. But the v'chulei is, if you can't do Yibam, so then you can't do Chalitza. And in this situation, because of the din of Havchana, so you can't do Yibam. So therefore, Rav Yossi said, that's why we don't say v'tachlos u'mabakach. No, the two are connected. If you can do Yibam, then you can do Chalitza. If you can't do Yibam, then you can't do Chalitza. Moshe Rechinen asks on this, he says, wait a second, Hasvekos Chotzos Lo B'Siyamos, but we find all the time that when there's a Safek, you do Chalitza, and you don't do Yibam, because you're not allowed to do Yibam, so nevertheless you do Chalitza. So Gemara says, no, my Svekos, what Svekos are we talking about? Ilema Safek Kedushin, if we're talking about it were the case that we had the other day, where a man threw chalitza to the woman, and it's in the Rishus HaRabim, so it depends. If it falls within the Dalet Amos of her, she can be Koneh. If it stays within his Dalet Amos, she didn't acquire the Kedushin. So then in this situation, am I lo misyavavitz? Why can't she go and do Yibam? Tisyabe ne'emekach klom, mimonashach. If the original marriage was a good marriage, so then Shimon is now doing Yibam. And if the original marriage to Ruvi wasn't a good marriage, so then Shimon is marrying a woman who is not married to his brother. Elolav, what must it be? Safek, the safek that we're dealing with is Shekidis achas mishtei achoyos, that a person married via shaliach, one of the two sisters, and he doesn't know which one. Meinu de is mehem kiddush. But Ketani Cholzos in the end it says there that you do chalitza. So here you see that even though you can't do yibum, you can do chalitza. Where it says no, the two cases aren't comparable. Hachi hashta hasam. In that situation, im yavo eliyavo yomai the hakidush. If Eliyahu would say no, this man was Makadish Rachel, not Leah. So then bas chalitza yibumi. So then it's just our lack of knowing the facts that prevents us doing from the yibum, but not that yibum is usher. But Hacha, in our case over here, even if Eliyahu ben Avi would come, im yavo Eliyahu yomai the holo yabra, that she's not pregnant, we wouldn't listen. Mi mishkach bevi yabin la, we wouldn't allow in this situation that Yibam should occur. Because even her Katana, when we know that there's no way that she's pregnant because she's a Katana, the La Basi Burihi, we nevertheless, Babilhochi, Tzricha Lahamtin, Shlosha Chadoshim, we nevertheless require the Havchana. So therefore, this Havchana is across the board, no matter what. So Eliyahu wouldn't change anything over here. That's why the difference between the two cases. Baruch Hashem, we got pretty far, so we're really now another full daf ahead for Yontif. With this, we conclude today's very difficult, but hopefully enjoyable shir that you were able to follow. Have a wonderful day.